Begins next verse. It's telling the story. This verse is like the introduction to the specifics of the story. Sakrit
Mana
Krishna
Krishna
Pada
Pada
Aravindayo
Aravindayo
Niveshitam
Niveshitam
Tat
Tat
Gunaragi
Gunaragi
Yai
Iha
Na
Te
Yamam
Pasha
Vrittaha
Cha
Tat
Batan
Swapne
Api
Pashanti
Hi
Chirna
Nishkitaha
Sakrimana Krishna Padaravindayo
Sakrimana Krishna Padaravindayo
Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Ariha
Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Ariha
Nate Yamam Pasha Vishchatad Bhatan
Nate Yamam Pasha Vishchatad Bhatan
Svapne Vipashyanti Vichirna Nishkrita
Svapne Vipashyanti
Vichirna Nishkrita Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayor
Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayor
Niveshitam Padguna Ragiya Riha
Niveshitam Padguna Ragiya
Nate yamam pasha vritascha tad bhattan
Nate yamam pasha vritascha tad bhattan
Svapne pi pashanti hi chirna nishkrita
Svapne pi pashanti hi chirna nishkrita
Sakrin mana krishna padaravindayor
Sakrin mana krishna padaravindayor
Niveshitam tad gunna ragiya riha
Niveshitam tad gunna ragiya riha
Nate yamam pasha vrittascha tad bhattan
Nate yamam pasha vrittascha tad bhattan
Svapne pi pashyanti hi chirna nishkrita
Svapne pi pashyanti hi chirna nishkrita Sakrimana Krishna
Padaravindayo
Sakrin
Mana Krishna Padaravindayo Svapne pi pashyanti hi chirna nishkrita Sakrin mana krishna padaravindayor Niveshitam tad gunna ragiya riha Nate yamam pasha vritascha tad bhattan Svapne vipashyanti hi chirna nishkrita Sakrit
Once only Manaha
The mind
Krishna
Aravindayoho
Unto the true lotus feet of Lord Krishna
Two lotus feet.
Two lotus feet.
In Sanskrit, actually, you have, you know, like in English, we have singular and plural.
Uh-huh.
In Sanskrit, they have singular, dual, and plural.
Uh-huh.
Whole set of endings just for when it's just two. So two lotus, they always say two lotus. It's built into the grammar. It's of course not in this compound, but anyway, that's what the habit is always say like that. Niveshitam. Completely surrendered. Tat of Krishna. Tat means that. Here he refers to Krishna. Gunaragi.
Gunaragi.
Which is somewhat attached.
Which is somewhat attached.
To the qualities, name, fame, and paraphernalia.
To the qualities, name, fame, and paraphernalia.
Yahi.
Yahi.
By whom?
By whom?
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Na.
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 Te.
Te. Such persons.
Such persons.
Yamam.
Yamam.
Yamaraj.
Yamaraj.
The superintendent of death.
The superintendent of death.
Pashabrittaha.
Pashabrittaha.
Those who carry ropes.
Those who carry ropes.
To catch sinful persons.
Cha
and
tat
is
batan
order of carriers.
Swapne
api even in dreams.
Pashanti
see
he
indeed.
Chirna,
Nishkitaha,
Nishkita,
who have performed the right type of atonement.
Who have performed the right type of atonement.
Translation. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet, and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. As you brought up before, this goes on for a little while. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is 1866, Sarva Dharman Padit Yajya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vaja, Aham Tam Sarva Pape Yo Moksha Yishyan, Mam Sikhapan. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This same principle is described here, Sakrim Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, if by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Shukadeva Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana, previous verse, and Narayana Parayana, finally says Krishna Padaravindayo. Thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayana and Vasudeva. Even though Narayana and Vasudeva are not different from Krishna, simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayana, Vasudeva, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mata Parataram Nanya, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the supreme form, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends
to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, mam ekam. Because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda are, Krishna directly says, mam ekam. Herein, this is also supported by the words Krishna Padaravindaya. Narayana does not speak person, but Krishna or Vasudev does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna. And to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of Bhakti Yoga. Parikshit Maharaj has inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Naraka, hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into Naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant. The first word, sakrit, is significant because it indicates that if sakrit means once, one time. Asakrit means continually. So sakrit is one on one occasion. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he's saved, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apiche sudaracharo vajatemam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito ki saha. Even if one commits most abominable actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he's safe, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord also says, Neha vikrama na ashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam atyasya dharmasya trayate mahato. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. It's actually diminution. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita 6:40, Lord Krishna says, Yahi kalyana kaschit dukatim prata kaschit. One who performs auspicious activities is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyana, or auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That's the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has confirmed this as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate vidashapur akasha pushpayate durdantindriya kala sarpa patali proktata damstrayate vishwam purna sukayate kiddimahindradishcha iktayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavat tam Gauram ate Tumaha. The sinful activities of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Kokata damstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be upheld by him. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Vishesha Sundavari Pacharchate Sitaki Oma Gyanam Kimaranda Shakananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Yumari Tujain Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Panchkalpa Kipuscha Kripa Sindhu Vireva Chakatita Namaha Vyo Vaishna Vyo Namo Namaha. So here, in the previous verse, we talked about those people who are very expert at performing various sorts of atonements, but yet if they have no interest in Krishna, they can never be purified, no matter what they do. On the other hand, one who has not so advanced necessarily, but Sakrit Manak has invested his Niveshita, invested his mind and at the two lotus feet of Krishna, that person, and Tat Guna Ragi, and is become has some feeling for Krishna's qualities. Guna Prabhupada says this means his qualities, his form, his name, his pastime, everything about Krishna. It says some ragi means, you know, some attachment, some actual emotional attraction for these things in this world. That person doesn't never sees Yamaraj or his policeman. Yamaraj is the Lord of Judgment, Yama means rule. And so those, it says, there's a full description, we will see this description later on. When someone has committed many sinful activities, he's taken, at the time of death, he's taken to Yamaraj. The people that take him are these people that are referred to here, the pasha, they carry ropes. And they're described, also they're described here as batan. Batan means soldiers, constables, you know, police officers, a kind of servant of foot patrol. So it says that in one, at the time of death, the soul together with the subtle body, the mind, false ego, intelligence, is separated. So we shuffle off one of the mortal coils, which is the gross body, but as long as we are materially conditioned, we retain the subtle body. And if there's a lot of, if there's sinful reactions, then it says that these people called the Yamadutas, Sutta means messenger, they come and they have these ropes that are made of some kind of subtle material. And with these nooses or ropes, they wrap them around them, subtle body, full. And the sinful person sees the unfruitfulness, quite terrified by this point. This will, we all see this happen to the Sajjanya. So, and then they take them before Yamaraj, who then passes judgment. So this is the justice system. Yamaraj is like the judge, and these are the policemen who come out and they grab people, they look at the account, and say, oh, there's definitely done it. Because everything is seen. It's not like you do something in the dead of night and the windows and doors are closed and there are no hidden cameras. It doesn't mean that nobody sees. There are many witnesses. Everything is seen. So, as far as privacy on the internet, nobody has any privacy. They wish they knew. Because everything is seen and everything is recorded.
Email is not safe.
Email is not safe, even what you think is not safe. So all these sinful activities are there, and then they come and get you. But it says here that a person who has, as Prabhupada said, not fully realized Krishna, but is somewhat attached to Krishna, has really surrendered to Krishna, made that determination to surrender to Krishna, they don't even see Yamaraj or his policeman, even in dreams. What to speak of? Not even Swapne, not even in dreams. Because they have Chirna Nishkritaha. These people have actually performed the right atonement. This is the answer to the question, how can people, what can they do so they never have to go to hell? So here, in the purport, in the first part of the purport, Prabhupada makes this point, centered around the fact that here the name Krishna, particularly, is Krishna Padara, the lotus feet of Krishna. Before, other names were used, Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana, which could be names of Krishna's expansions, four-handed Vishnu forms. But here, finally, it's particularly Krishna is mentioned. So, Prabhupada begins by saying that what this verse is saying is confirmed when Krishna is his kind of concluding or summary statement of the Bhagavad Gita. He says to Arjuna, having reviewed all different kinds of spiritual paths, says, Sarva Dharma Parichaya, you can give up all these different dharmas or ways of doing spiritual things. Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, and just take shelter of me alone. He says, Mam Ekam, me and no one else. This is Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada says, if by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, so it just decides, Prabhupada says, you just decide to surrender to Krishna, he's immediately freed from all sinful reactions. And it's understood that in the beginning, as Prabhupada discusses a number of times in here, even if after that one may commit some sin, not by calculating, but simply sometimes one's mugged by bad habits, the force of the past, and without planning to, one commits some sinful activity, is immediately sorry, repents again, take up the path. That person doesn't have to worry. If someone thinks, well, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm a devotee, and it doesn't matter, I can go out and do all kinds of sinful activity, that person doesn't apply to me. This is not a license for hypocrisy, but it's just telling you that you don't have to be perfect to take this atonement. Because this is particularly Krishna's problem. You just surrender to me, Mame Kam Saranam Jam, come from Sarva Papadio Mokshayashami. I shall free you from all kinds of sins and the reactions to sins.
When they say sin, they mean two things, a sinful act,
and then the consequences of that sinful act, which is suffering. And also, one of the consequences, the point you perform a sinful act, one of the consequences is the tendency to do it again. The second drink, the second cigarette, the second. There, he says, I shall mokshayashami. And then he says, masuchaha. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't fear. So Krishna is extending, if you do this, if you just give up, don't all worry about all other different paths, because there are many ways to gradually come to Krishna consciousness. It's not that they're not bona fide. But if the whole point of all these different religious principles in the Vedas that Krishna has shown in the Bhagavad Gita, if you take them out all the way, if you follow them to the end, if you understand them thoroughly, they all end up the same place, surrendered to Krishna. So Krishna says, just, you know, make a quick work of it. You can come to me directly. You know, all these other things involve all these preparatory atonements before you can get to Krishna. Krishna says, Krishna personally says, you can come to me, mommy, usually the person to me directly, and I'll deliver you. Because you may object, Krishna, I'm so sinful, I'm so fallen, I've done so many bad things, how can I possibly come to you directly? I'm too sinful. Krishna says, nope, I'll take care of it for you. So you don't have to do all these other things first, and you don't have to fear. This is a kind of promise. This is the promise that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. So he's saying that's why it's very significant here that the word Krishna is used. And Prabhupada explains, there are other, Krishna has many expansions, Vishnu expansions, and they have names like Narayan, Vasudev, Govinda. Although sometimes Vasudev and Govinda are also personal names of Krishna, they're also names of Vishnu expansions. But here, he says, he's emphasizing Krishna himself. And then he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Mataparataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti. There is no true superior to me. Krishna says. So understanding that even among all the forms of Bhagavan, of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the different expansions and incarnations, as it says early in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. In the very beginning of Bhagavatam, in the first canto, there's a kind of preview, and there's one verse after another gives capsule descriptions of various avatars. And then it says, Ete Chamsakalatum Sam Krishna's two ones. All of these are either expansions or expansions of Krishna is Bhagavan himself. He's the source of all avatars. So then, this interesting thing that Prabhupada says, therefore, Krishna recommends the neophyte devotees that one should surrender to him only, mam ekam, me alone. Because neophyte devotees cannot understand what is the form of Narayan, Vasudev, Govinda are. So that's a little complicated theological understanding. He just says, mam ekam. So this is the... Because he says, interesting, he says, because... Herein, this is also supported by the word Krishna Padara by Nayo. He says, Narayan does not speak personally, but Krishna, or Vasudeva, meaning the son of Vasudeva, Krishna's birth, does, as in Bhagavad Gita. Now, you never see that this is his mom, Eka, something like that. This is kind of very personal speaking. So that's the recommendation. So here he says he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once he's saved, even if by chance he falls down again by committing some sinful activity. And then he quotes the state from the Bhagavad Gita, that one who is actually practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely and is rightly situated and determined in his determination, even if he does something very bad, sudur achara means bad behavior, and sudur means very bad. Some such action says quite bad, says something really bad. Sadhu eva samantari, he's to be considered a sadhu, he's to be considered saintly, because he's properly situated. In other words, that person regrets it, repents, immediately tries to restore.
So the sadhu for very bad?
No, a sadhu means very good.
Oh,
he's to be considered sadhu. The word sadhu, of course, it means a saintly person. It's called a sadhu. And then also, like, you know, concerts in America, they say bravo or brava. If you know the word Italian. In India, they say sadhu, sadhu. Very good, very good. Thank you. So he's safe. So this endeavor, and then he also quotes from Bhagavad Gita again, there's no loss or diminution, decrease, and even a little of that, svalpam api, even a little bit, svalpam means a tiny little bit, can save one from mahato maya, from the greatest kind of fear. The fear of sinking down into hellish life. Prabhupada sometimes describes these punishments. You go down to one of these hells and you're punished. As a kind of preliminary conditioning to taking birth on earth in some kind of animal form. Like, for example, you come through Yamaraj and you're taken to some hellish place where for, you know, 5,000 years you have to eat a steady desire, the diet of excrement. And so after that conditioning, then you take birth as an animal or insect, like a dung beetle or a hog whose diet is excrement. So these are all kinds of things that prepare you. Because also, animal life and insect life is also considered hellish, but Maya has this potency that of covering, one potency of Maya puts you into a material condition, and the covering potency makes you like it. You think it's great. You're a maggot eating rotten flesh, and you think, this is great, what a feast. Fantastic. And we see that sometimes you see people with, human beings with taste, you know, they're sitting down ripping on crabs or something, and they're thinking great, and you think, God. Or you go to a punk rock concert or something, they're thinking wonderful. So all these, especially animals, plants, they're all, it's not a pleasant life, except they think it's nice. You think it's nice. Even the things in this world that we think are nice, from the point of view of the demigods, they think, oh God, look at what they're enjoying. So, this is the covering potency. You like it. This is great. And then Prabhupada ends by quoting this very nice verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kaya Valyam. This verse, here's a translation. Prabhupada doesn't translate, he just mentions one line. What it says, Yat karuna kataksha vibhavatam tam gauram eva stumaha. because this is a glorification of Lord Gauranga, and whose power is such that anyone who receives blessed by his merciful sidelong glance, Karunya Kataksha. Kataksha means looking out of the corner of the eye, a merciful sidelong glance. Who has received this mercy of Lord Gauranga in this way, then these are the things that happen. Kaivalyam Narakayate, that Kaivalya, merging into Brahman, impersonal liberation, becomes like hell, Naraka. Everybody else wants to, you know, merge into Brahman and lose his identity. But for a devotee, then you can't see Krishna. You can't have a relationship. So it's hell.
So Brahman is hell?
Brahman, becoming one with Brahman.
Okay.
Yeah. That for a devotee, because the devotee's idea is that for a devotee's idea is that we want to have a relationship with Krishna, a loving relationship. If I merge into Krishna's effulgence, then, and only that, then there's no relationship. So that's a terrible idea. But to have a relationship with Krishna, one has to be spiritual. One has to become also Brahman. But it doesn't mean that one loses one's identity. Then he says, Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate. The Tridashapur, meaning the abode of the gods and the higher planets, is like flowers in the sky. This is a typical example of things that don't exist. One of them is flowers growing in the sky, which is here. Another example is horns of a rabbit. Another example is the son of a barren woman. Non-existent things. It's just like this big descriptions in the Vedas of the glories of the heavenly planets, material heavenly planets. It just dismisses them like Akasha Pushpa, these imaginary flowers growing in the sky. And then there's the one that Prabhupada talks about, Durdantindriya Kala Sarapa Pakali Kopata Damstravate. This says that the indriya, the senses, which are untamable serpents, poisonous snakes, kalasapaha. So our senses are like uncontrollable poisonous snakes, patali, lots of them. Because your senses are composed of snakes, because when they see something, they strike, you know. Here's some fruity. Here's a nice looking boy or girl. Here's a nice looking.
Would you say that the tongue is the beginning of all?
Yeah, the tongue, which is even shaped like a snake. So they're poisonous because sense gratification is considered to be poison, because the more we enjoy the senses, the more we identify with the body, and the more we suffer in the material world. So so the senses are like these poisonous snakes that are always actually killing us, getting us into trouble in this way. So it says that one has surrendered to the Lord, the senses become defanged. That's what it says. Pokata damasvayate, the teeth are removed. We still have our senses and we still use them, but they are no longer fatal. No more fatal attractions in the movie story. Here's some other symptoms. Vishwa Purna Sukhayate, the whole universe seems full of happiness.
it's changed. Because now one sees Krishna everywhere, and actually the whole world looks purna sukhayate, full of joy. And Diddhi Mahindrascha Kitayache, and the great Mahindradi means Lord Indra, and all the other demigods who control the universe. These are like big people. They're the cosmic bureaucrats, the cosmocrats who run the whole universe. And they're really very, very big and very, very powerful people. He said they become like Kitayate, like little bugs. They seem like little bugs, all their glories in the life. So they're like, they seem like insects. So this is the Kaivalyam Narakayate, Kaivalya, oneness in personal liberation, looks like hell. The whole realm of the enjoying the gods, the worldly heavens are seem like a fantasy. The senses become defanged. The poisonous senses become defanged. The whole world becomes filled, it seems filled with joy. And all the great controlling gods look like bugs. Nice verse. That's what happens when one receives the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Yeah.
What if someone gets full of their karma and sudden karma, and they keep sending failures, their full of karma is drinking, and they fluctuate amongst the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and they have sakramana, will Krishna lessen that person's karmic retribution? And how so? Or will they have to see the God of judgment?
Wait a minute, you start from the beginning again. That is a little complicated.
Okay. So if the person has spoke of that karma, like a little bit of that karma?
Swapa, meager, a little bit of, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And they have sudden karma, very good karma. Okay.
Yeah, mixture. Uh-huh.
And they keep sinning, and their sin is drinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they fluctuate amongst three modes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sakramana, which means like, you know, for the same of Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, will Krishna lessen that person's karmic retribution? Or will they still have to see the God of judgment?
When it says to once they've surrendered to Krishna, so one may decide to surrender to Krishna and commit oneself to it, but still one is being controlled by these things, the past activities. However, one of the things that Krishna will do, if one thinks, well, now that I've surrendered to Krishna, I can go on doing this, then that doesn't really mean surrender.
Yeah, but
surrender to Krishna means I really want to. I want to be fully engaged in your service, but I'm doing so many things that make me forget you. Because anything in the mode of passion and ignorance makes us forget Krishna. But yet we're controlled by those lower modes. As soon as we get more and more in the mode of goodness, then it becomes easier and easier to remember Krishna. But of course, we have to go even beyond that. So one has to be then praying to Krishna to become free from such things and get some instruction what I have to do. Because it's not that I can just surrender to Krishna. If I surrender to Krishna at first, I may not even know what to do. Like, before I was a devotee, I was reading Bhagavad Gita in graduate school. And I figured it out from my academic translation. Now what the Bhagavad Gita was teaching was surrender to Krishna. I thought this was my original discovery because none of the professors said that. Such impersonal. And for some reason, I don't know why, I just decided when it just dawned on me this is what the Bhagavad Gita was teaching, and I checked it, that's what it's really saying. I decided I should surrender to Krishna. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is saying. I just studied. It wasn't even Prabhupada's translation. I didn't know there were devotees or anything, you know. So I closed my eyes and scrunched up like this, and I went, surrender, surrender, surrender. And then opened my eyes and nothing happened. Now, I went all of my regular life after that. But within, I guess, three or four months, I saw devotees for the first time. And I got some literature. And then I went to some friend dragged me to a temple. I was very reluctant to go. Dragged me to a temple. And I got interested in what the guy was saying, because he was talking about becoming free from material desires. I knew that was necessary, but I couldn't do it. And he suggested chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I immediately got some beads and I started chanting. So then, and because of that, when I started chanting, then I was able to give up many, many bad habits. Intoxications of all kinds. Anyway, I don't get into the list. But I mean, this was 1969 and people were pretty far out there. So one thing led to another. So we should see that if we really surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will start to give us opportunities to do certain things. Because actually, I mean, Krishna consciousness is not so hard, but there's something we have to bring to it, and that is some determination. If you want to learn anything worthwhile, it requires some determination. You know, you want to play the violin, you have to practice, right?
Yes.
If you don't practice, what happens?
You don't like it.
So Krishna consciousness requires some practice. The determination is, you know, I sit down every day and I chant 16 rounds on the beach, you know, just like you have to practice every day. So then we show to Krishna that we're interested, that I wasn't just some sentiment, oh, let me surrender to Krishna, and then, but you know, yeah, I'll surrender to Krishna, but next life, or I'll wait till I'm old. Then that's not really surrender. So we have to show something that it's real, and that is that we'll show Krishna by our behavior that we really are interested. And then Krishna will give us, he'll make all arrangements that all these things will go away. Yeah, I don't know what this text is talking about. Okay.
You know, I have a concern. I'm basically vegan, but I can't give up my salmon.
You can't give up my salmon?
I can't give up my salmon. I love salmon.
You get over it. You need to keep chanting Hare Krishna, and the paste will go away, right? And you go to Govinda's restaurant, they got vegetarian salmon. I can't tell right now because it's been a long time since I've tasted the real stuff, as they call it. But you can't do that to fish. You know? They have their little lives. It's not yours. They're Krishna salmon. You have to let them go. They want to swim upstream and mate and do their thing. Well, that's their lives. What do we have coming like, you know? You might take birth as a bear. You stand in the stream and you get those out. That's their food, not yours.